This is our second class of the Bible. And just real quick, did anybody have any questions last class? No? Okay. Excuse me. All right. One thing that I didn't mention in the last class, and I do want to just mention them right now. Yeah, there you are. just a couple of things. The first thing, I wanted to let you all know just a little bit about me in this sense. As each of us continues on with the Lord, walking with the Lord, our hearts being directed by the Lord, then a lot of the things that, I'll use this word, that govern us, change. And what I mean by govern is that some of the things that I do now, I didn't do when I first started walking with the Lord. Some of the things that I used to do when I first started walking with the Lord, when I was first born again, I don't do now. And I'm not talking about bad things, sinful things. I'm just talking about just things in general, you know? And a lot of things change. Like, I think I mentioned in our last class that even our Bible study habits, the way we read the Bible, the way we study the Bible, that changes also. I'll be talking a little bit more specifically in a later class on that. But the way I study the Bible now is not the way I studied the Bible when I was in Bible school or even when I was first born again. And things should change. And even our goals on what we do, why we do what we do. Hopefully that made sense. The reason why we do what we do. And like I just want to just share with you guys my goal for doing this class with you all. And in fact, it's my goal for doing everything that I do, whether it be a publication or a class or a Sunday service or lead worship or do this or that. To me, unless the Lord changes it, this is what it is, because he's brought my heart to this place. All right. And I'll just mention this. Everyone has a reason for doing what they do. Everybody has a goal. I even have a goal right now in teaching this class for you all. Right? Now, my goal for doing what I do, sharing, distributing. I distribute Strong's concordances. I distribute Bible softwares. I try to get as much out that I know will lead to the Lord as I can. Okay, so my goal, my purpose for doing what I do personally, for me personally, is solely. It's exclusively one reason, one purpose, one goal. It is for the purpose of the heart, the affection of the heart, to turn unto the Lord. That's it. That is why I personally do what I do. During these classes, everything that I'm sharing will, the Lord willing, hopefully help you in your Bible studies. But ultimately, the reason why I'm sharing it is so that the Spirit of the Lord can prepare the ground of your heart so that your heart can turn to the Lord. That's it. That's what I want for me. So why should I want something less for anyone else? All right, so that's just a little bit about me. Like, I don't have an ulterior motive here. That's my goal. And even for anyone viewing online for future generations, that's my goal. Unless the Lord changes it, that's it. All right. Now, I'm not sure if I touched on this our last class or not, but I do want to mention it. It's learning from without, learning from, it's like learning from the outside, from without, from the outside, from afar, versus learning from within, learning from the inside. And I know I did touch on it, but I didn't really spell it out the way I am right now. There's basically two types of learning. The first one, of course, is learning from without, learning from the outside. This is when we do it. Man does this learning. We do this learning. That is me picking up the Bible and reading, and I'm learning about something. I'm learning about the Bible, or I'm learning about Jesus. I'm learning about the people in the Bible. I'm learning about, all right? Now, that's what I can do. That's what man can do. And with what man can do, there is no power in it, and there's no results in it. Did y'all get that? Okay. With what man can do, there is no power in it, and there are no results in it. Remember, what I can do to learn from without, I can read and I can study, or I can sit in a class and listen and hear and jot down a note every once in a while. That's all learning from without. Okay? No power, no results. All right? And it is learning from the outside is always learning or knowing about Jesus, about Him. I think I gave the example in the last class, forgive me if I didn't do it, of like a driver's license or a passport. You have this document, this ID, that has all your information, and you can study that. You can memorize that. You can quote it back to whoever you want. But all you've done is you've learned about someone. You've come to know about someone. But unless you see that person face to face and continue seeing that person face to face, then you really don't know them. Okay? So that's learning from without, from the outside. It doesn't change. It doesn't change us. And forgive me, I have to say this. And don't be surprised. God is not out to change us. Right? Whoa, where'd that come from? Left field. No, not quite. God wants to make known the change that came at the moment of new birth. God wants to make known the change in us that came at the moment of new birth. See, at the moment of new birth, when we were first born again, everything changed. Well, yes, everything changed. No, I mean, everything changed. Jesus appeared in our soul. That is the eternal change that came into our soul at the moment of new birth. God doesn't have to do anything different. Once the soul is born again, all He wants to do is make known the change that has come already. And I love what Jacob said. You know, Jacob, he takes a rock, he puts it as his pillow, and falls asleep on the rock, and the Lord gives him a vision. The Lord reveals Himself to Jacob. And then Jacob wakes up and he declares this. This is what Jacob says. The Lord is currently, is, not was, not will be. The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. But now I know, because I've seen Him. And that's the difference. God does not want to change us. He wants to make known the change that has come already. His son, His very own son. Okay, sorry about that. I had to share it, and I'm not sorry for sharing that, because, you know, ultimately, we're here to know the Lord. If the Holy Spirit can direct our hearts unto Him, that's what we want, all right? So now, learning from within, from the inside, learning on the inside. Now, man can't do this. I cannot read the Bible and get it on the inside. No. All I can do is read the Bible, study the Bible, or listen to someone teaching or sharing and get it in between my ears, called my brain, and get it in my brain. But that's not on the inside. See, that doesn't touch the heart. That doesn't touch my heart. It doesn't touch anybody else's heart. Okay? When we do learn from the inside, that is God's doing. Only God can do that. I'll say it this way. I cannot touch your heart. Only God can touch your heart. I remember before I was born again, believers would share Jesus with me. They would talk to Jesus about Jesus to me, and I was like, nah, okay, I tried that. I did that. I tried that. It didn't work. All right? They were speaking, they were declaring, but they were not touching my heart. The moment leading up to when I was born again, I knew I was being drawn, and I knew it wasn't man doing it. I knew that something was going on, and I knew that man was not doing it, because something was going on the inside of me. All right? The moment I was born again, it's like God stepped in and touched my heart. Man did not do that. God did that, and that's exactly what God does. See, no man can touch the heart, but God does. He gets to the inside. He looks upon the heart, not the outside. Now, when we learn from the inside, it is, the word is effectual. It has power. It has effects. It has results. There are results, like what I said. There are results. What governs my heart of the Lord now is way much more than what governed my heart when I was first born again. And that is a fact. That is a fact. And only the Lord can do that. With learning on the inside, it's very specific. It's learning, it's knowing the person himself. Remember, I can study, I can learn, but what I'm going to study and learn is about Jesus. But when God makes known in my heart, then I know Him. I don't know about Him at that moment, at that time. Okay. So going on with our notes here, with our text. Chapter 2, or lesson 2, I've got just do it. Just do it. I think in the first lesson, I didn't touch on this, but I read somewhere, and I didn't jot it down, that like, it supposedly takes anywhere from 20 to 40 times of doing something before it becomes a habit. And the more you keep on doing it, it eventually becomes a lifestyle. So I'll just give you an example. If you wake up in the morning, and first thing you do is grab your Bible, and you just read a little bit, and you put it down, but you do this every morning for, let's say, 2 weeks or a whole month, then eventually that's what you're going to be doing every morning. Okay? So with this one, this title right here, I have... Just do it. Just get into the scripture. Just open up wherever the Lord may lead. All right. I've got another. Sorry, I had some things that I've added to this lesson book that I've never actually shared. But there's this term called Lectio Divina, And it's not important, except that it means this, Latin for divine reading. Well, I looked it up on Wikipedia, and basically it's a system of doing things by Saint Benedict. He just set it up, hey, read the Bible like this, guys. And so everyone said, okay, this is great, let's do it this way, right? But I just wanted to mention just a couple of things from that. With the focus of Lectio Divina, it is not a theological analysis of biblical passages, but viewing them with Christ as the key to their meaning. Well, okay, what are they basically saying? When you read the Bible, don't read it like a textbook. Don't try to tear it apart and figure out what this means and what that means and what this word actually says and what that word actually says. But let's study all those words and figure it out. That's not what it means, okay? Not like a textbook. Now, they have, but viewing them with Christ as the key to their meaning. Well, no, not quite. I wouldn't go with that. What I would say more so is, but instead of reading this as a textbook, read this as what God intended it to be, the testimony of Jesus Christ. And what the testimony does is lead and bring the heart unto Christ himself. So it's very real. It's very real. It's beyond an academic thing. It's like a relationship. If you have a relationship with a person, if you have a friend, a very good friend, you don't go up to them, good morning, my good friend. How can I help you today? No, that's crazy. There's no relationship like that. That's like robotic. That's kind of like academia sometimes. It can become like that. But a relationship is just, it's living. It's living. Any relationship that you have with any other person, it's a living relationship. You know, and it's based on, listen, real people, okay? So, here's my comment concerning academic knowledge, what we get up here in the little brain. Sometimes in our studies, we can become so academic, and I jot this stuff down because this is, you know, this would happen to me, and I'd notice it. So I jot things down where the Lord has, like, changed the way I do things, where the Lord has redirected my heart more perfectly unto him, okay? Right? Sometimes in our studies we can become so academic that we think that by our academia we have knowledge of God. So me, in reading the Bible, I can read it and study it so much and think, oh, I know God. But once again, that's not the case. But this is not true. Our academic knowledge, though precise, perfect, exact as it may be, is still not the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is Christ. The wisdom of God is Christ. The understanding of God is Christ. The beloved Son himself. And the knowledge of God governs our heart and soul when it pleases God to reveal his Son in the soul of the one that is born again. Alright? Now, once again to that Lectio Divina, they have four things, you know, the order, they have their little order of four things they would do, and theirs was basically this. Read and contemplate. They said, if you do those things in that order, then eventually you'll know God. Well, it's neither here nor there. So, while reading that, I thought, well, I've got my four things that would be good in reading the Bible and studying the Bible. I have pray, read, yield, and wait. Now, let's go ahead and define what I mean. Pray. Okay? Ask God to bring your heart unto his end, unto his purpose. Ask ask God to bring your heart where He wants to bring it. Even before you touch the Bible, Lord, direct my heart, bring my heart where you want my heart to come. That's a short little prayer. It's a great prayer. And then, read. Just read. Anywhere. Anywhere you feel like reading, okay? Anywhere. And then, while you're reading, yield. You know, like you have a stop sign and you have a yield sign? Yield. Yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think if you haven't heard this by now, you will hear it a lot. Blessed are those who bend to the Holy Spirit. Blessed are those who yield to the Holy Spirit. You know? Basically meaning this. Study, read where He leads and guides. And what I mean by that is, let's say I just start out reading, and I just want to read. I feel like reading, let's say, in the Gospel of Luke. So I start reading in the Gospel of Luke. And after reading, somehow, for whatever reason, I end up in the book of Genesis. And something really just triggers, grabs my attention, some passage in the book of Genesis, and now I'm just looking at Genesis. Well, more than likely, that may be the Holy Spirit directing your heart. Because what He does with the Scriptures and what He does with whatever is of God is He prepares the ground of our heart so that it may turn unto the Lord. Okay? So then be yielding unto the Lord. Don't be rigid. Don't say like, well, I started in the book of, in the Gospel of Luke, so I will finish the Gospel of Luke. But see, it is easier to turn a semi if it's moving than if it's parked. You know, like a big old truck, a big old semi, it's easier to direct it, to turn it, if it's actually in motion. And that's what I mean by just reading, just doing it. Just get in there. Okay, I will start reading the Gospel of Luke, and then allow the Holy Spirit to direct your heart, because you may wind up in the book of Genesis, or maybe in the Gospel of John, or in the book of Isaiah. Do you see what I mean? I'll give you an example, and I may be getting all over my notes. That's all right. I'll give you an example. For several years, the Lord has placed the word, just the word mercy on my heart. And there's been times when I've started just looking at it, and then all of a sudden, now I'm in some different study. Okay? About a year or two ago, the Lord brought it back up to my heart again. Back to my heart again. Mercy. So I thought, okay. I finished one study, so I guess this is the Lord leading me to this next study. So I started looking at mercy. And the first thing I did was look at the actual word mercy, and I found that one of the very first places that it's mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis, with Lot. So then I thought, well, I can't just start with Lot. I have to back up a little bit. So I have been reading the journey of Abram since a couple of years now. And here is where I am finding the mercy of God in Genesis. And it is awesome. But see what I mean? We don't want to be so rigid. We want to begin in the Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to direct us as He pleases, as He wants. Remember, once again, He's the teacher, and He teaches Christ. He teaches to bring to the end and to the goal that God wants our heart to come to, right? So with my four things again, pray, read, yield, and wait. Now, I love this. When the Holy Spirit has directed your heart, to be reading in a certain passage or studying a certain passage, then continue reading there, continue studying there, and wait. And wait. And what we wait for is the appearing of the Lord. Always. When the Lord leads and directs our hearts in our reading, we do, we follow, we read, and we wait. We wait for Him to show Christ in the Scriptures. We wait to see the testimony of God. And in seeing that testimony of God, then we pray that that same one that we have seen in the Scriptures would be made known in our heart. And it's because He is there, that's why. All right? So those are my four things of Lectio Divina. All right. So once again, just do it. Just get in the Bible. I don't know what your reading habits are or how much you guys are studying the Bible. I will say this. Before I was born again, I used to hate to read. I didn't want to read anything. When I would have exams, I would read the Cliff Notes the night before the exam. Basically, just highlights from somebody else before I would have to take an exam. I didn't like reading at all. I've been born again, gosh, 20 some odd years now, and I'm enjoying reading more than when I first started. You'd be surprised. It'll probably end up being the same with you. I end up studying more than when I first started, and I never thought I would like studying anything, but I do. Because it's not so much studying to learn, and it's not so much studying for an exam. We're reading and studying to come to know the Lord, to come to know Him who is our life, to come to know the salvation we've received. So, all right, I'll just go ahead and read some of this from the text. First of all, just do it. Just get into the Scriptures. There is a verse that says, "The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below, from Sheol." The Holy Spirit continually desires to bring us in our hearts unto the revelation of Jesus Christ, Christ being revealed in us. Out from this revelation of Christ, we are established in Him, and therefore proceed forth from being found in Him. And actually, all that means, the revelation of Jesus Christ, all that means is God the Father making known who's present. That's it. That is all that means. I'll ask you right now. I know you don't know this, but there's something here in my folder, in my portfolio right here. There's something here. It's really shiny, but you don't know what it is. I do. I know exactly what it is. I'm telling you about it, but I know that you still don't know what it is. I described it for you. It's shiny. Now, you can use your imagination and try to figure it out and say, "Oh, I know what he's talking about." But you haven't seen what I'm talking about. Now, I know what it is because I put it there. And here, let me show you. Right? It's mine. It's here. Look at that. Very shiny, right? Can you guys see that? Yeah? It's very shiny. It's a pen that was given to me. It's been here the whole time. It's been here during this class. It's been here the last class we've had. It's been here since even before we had a class. Now, I just revealed that to you. And better still, I made known to you my knowing. I made known to you my understanding. See, I knew what was there. It was always there. You didn't. but I wanted to show it to you so you could know also. All right? That's a perfect example of God the Father revealing His Son, the revelation of Jesus Christ. God makes known to our heart, to our soul, the one who is present. That's it. That's it. At the moment of new birth, Christ appears in our soul. And though we can read and we can learn that Jesus is in me, Jesus is in my soul, Jesus is in my heart, we do not truly know until God makes Him known, until God reveals His Son. And the best part about that is it pleases God to reveal Him. All right? You can jot that one down. It's Galatians chapter 1, verse like 15, verse 16, somewhere in 15 or 16. Galatians 1, 15 or 16. It pleases God to reveal His Son. It pleases God to make known His Son. And then when He does, you just end up declaring, like Jacob did, God is in this place, and I didn't know it until now. Now I know. All right? So going on, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, Christ, who is from above. For example, we might start reading or studying a portion of Scripture that does not appear to be related to Christ at all, but as long as we start and just get into the Scripture, the Holy Spirit will always direct and point us to Christ. The thing is, you need to be in the Scriptures so that He can move and direct your heart to Christ. Listen to this comment. The Holy Spirit guides our reading and studying to where all things work together for the good. To where all things work together for the good. And what I mean by good is Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. God saw the light that it was good. All things work together for good. Okay? For whatever reason, I've got this verse, so let's take a look at it. This is Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 7. Oh, yeah, okay. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. And then that's like David speaking, and now here's the Lord speaking. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. All right? I want to look specifically at verse 9. Now, I don't know what translation of the Bible you guys have, but I've got a King James, and that's just because the first Strong's Concordance I purchased was a King James Strong's Concordance. It just made it easier for my studies. But I do like looking at different translations, and we're going to see a couple of the reasons why here. I'm going to read that exact same verse that we just read. Let me do this. I'll do it this way. All right. I'll read the exact same verse that we just read, verse 9, that I just finished reading in the King James. Here's verse 9 in the King James. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Okay. This is the New American Standard 1995 version, okay? This is what it says. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. All right? This is the next translation. If I can find it. I know I've got it. Give me just a second. It's the HCSB. I think it's the, yeah, Holman Christian Standard Bible. I think that's what it is. Forgive me if I gave it the wrong name. But it says this: do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding that must be controlled with bit and bridle, or else it will not come near you. And then here's the New King James. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. And see, that's the whole thing right there. Verse 8, once again, of Psalm 32. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. And then verse 9 is saying, don't be like the horse or a mule that you have to put a bridle on them, you know, the thing that goes around their head. Why? To bring them near you. Don't you love that? So yield. Yield to the Spirit of the Lord. Yield to what God does with what He's given. Right? Verse 8 again. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And yield to my instruction. Yield to my teaching, yield to my guiding, because the Lord instructs, He teaches, and He guides to bring unto Himself. Pretty neat, huh? I thought it was neat. I liked it when I saw it. Okay, continuing on. Time flies. Let's see. There might be times that you see an example of the Lord in the movie. Have you guys ever watched a movie? Well, I watch movies. Okay, I'm born again. I like to watch movies. So I'll just ask this. Have you guys seen a movie or watched a movie? And if you don't watch movies, that's fine. It's okay. But have you ever watched a movie or something where you see an example or you see something of the Lord in it? Has that ever happened to anyone? Yeah, I got a little bit of nodding. Okay, yeah, okay, cool. And why is that? Here we go, right here, the very next statement. But this is only because we were made aware of the Lord by the Holy Spirit in that particular way in the Scriptures first. See, when you read a passage of the Scriptures, you kind of get it in your brain, but it also settles on your heart. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is continually preparing the ground of our heart to come unto the Lord. Or, better said, to turn unto the Lord. Alright? So Jesus said it this way: hey, the sower goes sowing the seed. You know, some seed falls here, some seed falls there, some seed falls over here, and some seed falls right here. And then he goes and explains it. You know, the seed that fell on the good ground, or the seed that fell on the rocky ground, or the seed that fell on the thorny ground, you see what I mean? It lands on our heart also, whether we know it or not. And that's why at a certain juncture, at a certain time, it clicks. It's like, oh, wow. I see the Lord in that movie. No, not really. You don't see the Lord in the movie. The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord has been preparing the ground of your heart to discover something of Christ. And that's the testimony. when we discover something of Christ, either in the Scripture, which is actually the perfect testimony, or somewhere else because of the Scripture, that testimony is designed for one purpose: to direct our heart unto Christ, to birth in our heart an expectation, a hope to see Him. All right? Only God can do this. Man can't do this. Let's see. I like this comment. I'm running way out of time. I even have a diagram in the back of the board. I don't know if you guys can see it or not. Forgive me, I didn't get it out soon enough. I'll just make this comment. And this is from Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 46. Just out of curiosity, you guys do have this the text, right? The lesson book. Cool. And do you guys read it? Do you guys read it? Yeah, you do. Cool. I do too. It's good to read it. I don't want to have to read it word for word. It's good. Please read it so I don't have to. I read it too, actually. I'm actually really blessed from it, not because I wrote it, but just because it stirs my heart on to knowing the Lord. And that's what I love. All right, but I'll just make a comment. Understanding the Scriptures is when we are seeing Christ in them. That's when we understand the Scriptures. It's not when, oh, I figured it out, this means this. No, that's not understanding the Scriptures. Oh, look how wise I am, this means this. No, that's not wisdom. Understanding the Scriptures is when we are actually seeing Christ in them. And that takes a miracle of God. I don't know if I mentioned it, but we you know, like, there's the old saying, the magician pulling the rabbit out of the hat, right? Have you heard that? Pulling the rabbit out of the hat. We cannot pull Jesus out of the Scripture. We can't do that. No. We can't do that. The Holy Spirit has to make Him known. He was there the whole time. Just remember? My pen? Remember? He was there the whole time. You guys just didn't know it. But I did. I just wanted to make known my knowing. Right? So if you think about it with that example, now my knowing governs you. Because your knowing was ignorance of what was present. Pretty cool, huh? It's never ours. It's always the Lord. If it is of any eternal weight or eternal value, it's always the Lord, of the Lord. We are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit to reveal, to show us Christ. Utterly dependent. Utterly dependent. I'll just read this and then mention the diagram I've got in the back, okay? I'm going to skip a little bit. Gosh. No, I'm not going to skip a little bit. Here's John. I'm going to read a little passage from John here. Actually, yeah. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. It's just too good not to read. Okay. But as it is written, and this is, I think, a quote from Isaiah. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God has to make known what's there. God has to make known what is His. All right? Now, John chapter 5, verse 37 through 47. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read just a couple things here. This is great. I was earlier before the class, about an hour before, I was reading, like, currently I've got this Bible. It's a bilingual Bible, like two different translations, one English, one Spanish. Before this Bible, I had a different Bible, which was an English Greek Key Study Word Bible, and I'll be sharing you guys or showing you guys that later on. And I thought, you know what, let me just go ahead and look up this verse in that Bible. And see, I had made a note to the side. And here's first let me just read verse 39 and verse 40, and then I'll read you the verse with my note. Okay. Here's verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Okay? God gives the scripture as the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony is designed of God, purposed of God, to cause the heart to come unto Christ, to turn unto him, to turn to the Lord. All right? Now look at this, verse 44. Do any of you guys like use the Strong's Concordance to look at Strong's numbers on terms or anything? Yes, no? Maybe? Yes, no? Anybody use it? No? Okay, fine. Get this. Before I went to Bible school, I was involved in student ministry, like college ministry. And this one brother gave me a Strong's Concordance. He said, Jimmy, I think this would really bless you. And I thought, okay, I had it. I didn't know how to use it. I didn't know what to do with it. It sat on a shelf for a month. I didn't touch it. All right? Finally, I saw the brother again and said, hey, I got to give this back to you. I don't use it for anything. I don't know why you gave it to me. I sure don't use it. Here, you got it back. I kid you not. This is true. This is a true story. I kid you not. The very next day, I needed it. I went to a Christian bookstore. They were called Joshua's at the time. I went out and I bought one. I had to have it because I needed it. I needed to find a verse that I couldn't remember exactly where it was, but I knew a little bit of the verse. It's crazy, huh? Well, look at this. This is from John chapter 5. This is verse 44. This is Jesus speaking. How can you believe which receive honor one from another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, this is the King James Version. All right? But what I'm going to do, we're going to go ahead and look at that word honor. It's Strong's number 1391. All right? So I'm going to go to John chapter 5, verse 44. I'll read it again. How can you believe? Jesus is speaking to the Jews, everyone who is present. He says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Alright? Which receive honor? That word, the term honor is doxa. It's the Greek term doxa. It's Strong's number 1391. You can jot it down, 1391. I use Strong's numbers a lot. This is what it means. From the base of 1380, glory. How can you believe which receive glory one of another, man's glory, and seek not the glory, the same exact word, doxa, the glory that cometh from God only. Pretty cool, huh? Blew me away. The second time, even after I found it again, I was like, why did I have... Now look, here's the verse I have next to that word. 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'll go ahead and read it. And I thought, why did I write this verse down? It makes no sense, right? But it sure does. Because it's using the exact same word, doxa, glory. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. how can you believe which receive glory one from another and do not seek the glory that comes from God only? I have got another verse for Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I like that. So, cool search, huh? We still don't know Jesus. That was cool, but we still don't know Jesus. So the best we can do is seek. John 5:44. How can you believe which receive glory one from another and seek not the glory that cometh from God only? The most and the best we can do is, Lord, place in me a desire to seek and to desire the glory that comes from you alone. The glory that is found in the face of your Son. The glory that is in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Father, make known your glory in you. When God makes known his glory, then we know. Then that's something to shout about. Okay, because we're running out of time really fast. As I mentioned, I have a King James Bible and I have a Reina Valera 1960. That's what I currently read out of. But choose whatever translation that you read out of. Find one that you can read and understand, which you guys already have a Bible that you read. That's great. Continue on with it. Let the Spirit of the Lord direct your heart as he will with it. Just out of curiosity, do any of you guys have like either a computer or an iPad or a tablet or something like that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I say yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll not to burn any more time during this class, but I'll email somebody and have you guys tell me exactly what you have. Later on when we show the materials, this is what I have here. This is my concordance. This is my dictionary. This is my Bible. This is everything on this guy. Not only there, but everything I have on that, I've got on my phone too. So it makes it really convenient anywhere just to pick up the scripture and go. So, I won't mention any of these materials that I use. I've got loads more, tons more now. But just real quick, because our time's running out, I did want to mention this. Remember the last class how I said that pretty much when we're born again, we kind of start like this, our understanding, and more as we walk with the Lord, it just becomes more narrow. And here's basically what I've got. I jotted down a diagram, and I just want to, this is not anything in stone, but I saw that, you know, it kind of applies. So, once again, be pliable. Be yielding to the Holy Spirit, okay? So, I don't know if you can see this or not. I'll just look out of the way. All right. Basically, it's a picture of the tabernacle. That's what it is. You see, here's my big arrow sign again. And see, I didn't have enough chalkboard to write this, or I drew this too big. I wasn't big at the time. But here, on the outside, it's like natural light, you know, for one who's not born again. He's not inside. Now, don't think that you have to progress. There's no steps. There's no ladder that you have to climb up. No, don't think about that. No, no. Okay? Don't go that route. There is no step to get to some place. No. Just like I showed you earlier, here's the deal. Remember? I made known to you my knowing of what was present. If you are born again, Christ is in you. He's not going to be less in you than what he already is. God put him there. God the Father put him there. God the Father is the only one who can show you the one who's there. And he wants to do that. But I won't even use that diagram. I'll just say this. There's natural light, okay? There's natural light, which is basically the light of man. And what I mean by that, there's natural knowing, the knowing of man, right? There are people who are not born again who know something about God, who know something about Jesus, right? Yes. I know before I was born again, I knew something about God. I knew something about Jesus. That's natural light, okay? Now, for the one who's born again, there's natural light. There is also the light of the testimony. Thy word, I love this verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Think about it. Lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What does that imply? What does that mean? It means it's directing you somewhere. It's bringing you somewhere. The testimony always is designed of God to direct the heart unto Christ. Okay? So you've got like natural knowing, natural light, which is the light of man, the natural mind. You have the light of the testimony. And then you have the light of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For God, who shined in the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's all that diagram is supposed to mean. And get this. God is always bringing unto that end. Always. From many, from things to singular, to one, to a person himself. All right. So I know I've run out of time. It's terrible. But I usually tend to go over time. And I know I'm already out of time. Yes, I know. But I want you to just look at one. I don't know if you've got this translation or not, but I do want to read this because, remember, at the moment of new birth, Christ is in you. Christ has appeared in your soul. And what is there, God wants to make known. He wants to make known his Son. This is, you don't have to look it up or anything. This is John chapter 15, verse 4. This is, the translation is called The Message, the Bible in Contemporary Language. It says, live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. The emphasis is that the Lord has done something already. We don't have to do something to make the Lord do something. No, the Lord has already done. I love this. Listen to this. Just as I do in you. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. Remember Jacob? The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. But now I know. Okay? One last verse here. It's the same exact verse, and this is the Bible in basic English. Be in me at all times, as I am in you at all times. At the moment of new birth, Christ is in you, and he is not leaving. All God wants to do is make known the one who's there. That's all he wants to do. Make known the one who's there, just like I did. He knows what's there. He knows who's present in your soul. He put him there, and he's the only one who can make known one who's there. So that'll be the end for this class. as I stated, just do it. Get into the scriptures. Read. Yields to the Holy Spirit. Where was it? Yeah, here we go. Here's my little Lectio Divina order. Once again, pray, read, yield, and wait. And it's not like waiting, like tapping your foot, like, oh, come on, come on. No, no, it's like waiting in expectation. It's like like we just had Christmas not too long ago. It's like a little kid before Christmas shows up. He's waiting. But he's waiting in expectation to see what he already has, what's already there. So there you go. I'll let you go for this class. The Lord bless you guys. We'll see you in our next class, okay? Oh, whoa. Any questions?
I did want to comment on something. The example with the pen... It was you know, right on point. Because you can try to figure out something about it till you see it, like, really just plain sight, you know? And you can kind of burn yourself, like, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? But until, like, you, the example of being the Father, to reveal what was in that binder, which was Christ being the pen, like... it's not really something that we could do or something that we could eager for. It's something that he's just going to, boom, show it to us. It's already been there, you know. And it was a real good example. Really good. Helpful for me, I know, for sure.
Good. Praise God. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. And that's how simple it is with God when he just makes known his Son. It's... What it does every time when you're first born again, and it's like this: when Christ first appears in our soul, when we're first born again, the result it has on us, the effect that it has on us, is thankfulness unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't do this. And then when God the Father, in His mercy and grace, reveals His Son, it produces the same effect and result in our heart. Thank you, Father. I could not do this. You've done what only you can do. And that's awesome. Thank you for saying that. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it should be that way, because it is that way. It's so simple for God to do this. And as I stated in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it pleases God to make known His Son. So, praise hallelujah. I'll let you go for this class. We will see you in our next class, all right?